A Norwegian palace of ice. It is winter time in Norway. At the edge of a remote village, a waterfall has frozen and been transformed into an ice palace, an awesome structure of icy caves and cliffs. In a classroom at the local school, there is a new arrival, an 11-year-old girl called Unn. She is quiet and enigmatic, and so she is regarded with suspicion by her new classmates. But suddenly she forms a mysterious bond with a popular girl called Sis. Sis invites Unn to the house where she lives with her aunt. It is almost as if there is a kind of strange telepathy between the two girls, and an immediate intimacy. Unn has a secret that she wishes to share with the other girl, but Sis begins to feel uncomfortable and leaves. They will never meet again. The following day, Unn sets out to the ice palace on her own and becomes lost inside it. Then the search for her begins. The Ice Palace, the novel published in 1963 by Tarjei Vissars, is a work like no other. Broodingly written in a beautiful prose that demonstrates a powerful economy with words, it explores a difficult and fascinating subject, the mindset of children on the edge of puberty. But the children are presented not as immature minors, but rather in their own terms, as persons not yet dulled into set patterns of behaviour, but capable of sudden impulsive acts that conform to their own sense of logic. More so than adults, they're intuitive and expressive and alive to the mysteries of the world around them. We feel exactly what it must be like to be 11-year-old girls interacting with one another, but we also explore how one person can enter into another's consciousness like an eternal presence whose physical disappearance will haunt her for the rest of her days. Tarjei Vissars was born in Telemark, Norway in 1897. His family were farmers who had lived in the same house for over 300 years, and a strong sense of place and age-old tradition are central to the setting in many of his novels. Vissars attended a local folk school and then in the 1920s travelled abroad, mainly in Germany, before returning to live in his native region from 1927 onwards. His wife, Haldis Vissars, was also a writer. Themes such as psychological isolation, guilt, and death frequently recur in Vissars' works. His 1957 novel, The Birds, for example, tells the story of a mentally handicapped 37-year-old man called Mattis. He lives with his sister, Hege, who is slightly older and looks after him. Mattis is constantly aware of being a burden on his sister, who tries to make ends meet by knitting sweaters and encourages her brother to go out and find some work. He begs for work on a neighbouring farm and is asked to help thinning out turnips, but is humiliated by his inability to do the work properly. Vissars depicts Mattis in such a way that we see that although he is incapable of doing many basic tasks, of even forming his own thoughts into intelligent conversation, he is by no means lacking in thoughts. He has an innate feeling for the natural world, and indeed it is a great theme of Vissars that it is those who are isolated from the ordinary adult world, like Unn in the Ice Palace and Mattis in The Birds, who most vividly connect to the primeval forces of nature. It is almost as if the people in the ordinary adult world have had their senses numbed by the round of work and social interaction. When a woodcock flies over Mattis's house, it is for him an event of great significance, which is entirely incomprehensible to his sister. As with some forms of autism, Vissars' characters demonstrate insights into unexplored or ignored parts of the human psyche. A local boy hearing about the woodcock comes and pointlessly shoots it, yet only the simple-minded Mattis perceives this as a great tragedy, an affront to the majesty and beauty of the natural world. Vissars' stories are both beautiful and deceptively simple. Reading about the Ice Palace, for example, almost makes one wish to head up into the north of Norway to find one. It is as if there exists in the frozen wastes something pure and powerful and wonderful, which is solid and yet appears almost as a mirage and then suddenly melts and disappears. It seems a metaphor for the very process of life itself. We wander around the psychological palace with many chambers, but perhaps we are most alive to its power and majesty, its deepest mysteries, not when we are adults, but rather in the far-off days of our childhood, when everything was new, when we acted on instinct and experienced everything with fresh eyes, when it made just as much sense to wander off on one's own to explore a frozen waterfall as it did to sit in a class and learn everything second-hand and written down.